We'll get started, please. The Word of God that we want to consider this morning is from 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 6. And the king that is spoken of here is Rehoboam, Solomon's son. So the leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, "The Lord is righteous." Was Solomon's son Rehoboam a God-fearing king? Well, in summary, 2 Chronicles says no. He was king for 17 years, and it says he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Now, he did not have 1,000 wives like his father, and there's no indication that he attempted to build idols for his wives in Jerusalem or even in the temple. But the Bible says he did have 78 wives, 28 sons, and 60 daughters. Just about a whole school right there. But when the religious refugees moved down from the north, things went pretty good for a little while, 3 years. But then the Bible says he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel along with him. And that reminds us that it's not only leaders are not only accountable to God for themselves and their own sins, but they're accountable for all those that follow their example. But the Lord is greatly concerned about those who forsake him. Just think of the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. And so the Lord God was certainly concerned about Rehoboam and the people who had fallen away from him. So he did something about it. What did he do? He permitted the Pharaoh of Egypt, Shishak by name, to invade the land of Judah, to take over all of Rehoboam's fortified cities in the land, and threaten even the city of Jerusalem. And then God sent a prophet, Shemaiah, to make sure the people understood why God was permitting Shishak to come. This is what the prophet Shemaiah said: "Thus says the Lord, you have forsaken me, and therefore I also have left you in the hand of Shishak." Now, this certainly explains many of the tragedies that take place in our world today. God is interested in bringing people to repentance. And that's what he was doing there. So he allowed Shishak to come and threaten the land. And he told the people that he was permitting Shishak to come because of their turning away from him. Not too many years after this, God sent another prophet by the name of Amos. And he made it clear that God does all kinds of things like this in order to bring people to repentance. The prophet Amos, speaking for God, says, "I withheld rain from you, yet you have not returned to me. I blasted you with blight and mildew, yet you have not returned to me. I sent you a plague, yet you have not returned to me." So all these things happened to the people because God wanted to bring them to repentance. And our Lord Jesus certainly taught the same thing. Remember that time that they talked about some tragedies that had taken place in the land, and they asked Jesus why these things happened. And Jesus said it was not because the victims were worse sinners than the others, but it was because the Lord wanted them all to repent. Now, what happened to Rehoboam and his people when they heard this message from the prophet and they were under threat in Jerusalem? Well, that's our text. The leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves and they said, "The Lord is righteous." So, what do we learn? Well, we learn certainly that God hates pride. God hates self-righteousness. God does not like self-justification. Jesus' mother Mary saying many years later, "He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly." So God despises the arrogance of proud kings, but he does not despise the broken and contrite hearts that confess their sins and turn to him. And so when Rehoboam and his men humbled themselves and admitted that God was righteous in sending judgment on them, the Lord sent Shemaiah with another message. This time Shemaiah said, "They have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. My wrath shall not be poured out on Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak." So at this humbling themselves, God was ready to change the course of events. They became Shishak's slaves for a time, but the city of Jerusalem was not destroyed. The Bible says, "When he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him so as not to destroy him completely. And things also went well in Judah." Now a word to the teachers. How do you feel when somebody punctures your pride by criticism? And you students, how do you feel when somebody puts you down, whether it's a friend or a teacher? Well, the natural reaction is to, "I'm right." Justify yourself. But what does God say to all of us? This is what the Apostle Peter says, "All of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." And if we are doubting God's care and concern for us, all we have to do is look at the cross and see God's Son hanging there, taking away our sins and including our sins of pride and arrogance. He wants to exalt us in glory at journey's end, and we look forward to that. Today we're going to do something a little bit different. Instead of singing one of the hymns, we'll turn to page 43 in the front part of the hymnal and sing Mary's song about putting down the proud and exalting the lowly. And if you haven't sung this before, you have to follow the numbers. So 1, 1, 2, 2, 3, 3, so forth. Let's try it.